Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's stand this evening and begin with prayer. Number of needs that I cannot, of course, cover them all, but a few of them. Pray for the Lance Smith family. That's Brother Ben's brother. Their house burned down. And they lost two pets in addition to the loss of their home. So pray for the Lance Smith family. Pray for Sister Sue Wittenbach, who has a number of health issues that she's been battling in addition to the struggles with medications. Also, Bishop Grant. Pray for Pastor Roy, Sister Lois, Pastor Jerry. I think Sister Lindsay's with them. All the people up at the campground. Pastor Roy called one of the crews that he was expecting, never showed up. And most of his other helpers, they left today. So now there are much fewer people there carrying the load the rest of the week. So pray for all of those that are working up at camp as well. Let's pray for this service, for everyone that's here and everyone who is online, and that God will have his way, that we will allow him to have his way, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for your ever-present help in time of need, oh God. We know that you care about us. We know, God, that you have given us the breath of life and that you have given us each a call and a purpose. And we ask, oh God, that tonight our hearts and our minds would be sensitive to your word, to pursue that will, that purpose that you have given us. We pray for these members of our family and loved ones. We pray for the Lance Smith family, God, this terrible loss, this traumatic situation in their family, Lord. I pray, God, help them, oh God, to find solace, to find comfort, to find the resources they need. Help the body of Christ, oh God, to know how to respond, and help this family to recover in this time of great loss. We pray for Sister Sue Wittenbach, oh God, for healing in her body, the many issues, more than even I know, oh God, that you are aware of. Touch her, Lord God, and strengthen her and encourage her, not only with the word of God, but with healing virtue and with a miraculous touch. We pray, oh God, for our pastors and their wives and the people that are up at the campground trying to get it ready for the rest of the district, that all of these workers would be blessed and that they would be encouraged, that you would give them a special strength and a special anointing, oh God, to accomplish this work for your name's sake and for the purpose that you have in mind for these camps coming up. We ask, oh God, for this night, this place, that all of us here would be sensitive to your word and to your spirit. We pray for your anointing upon Pastor Jessica, oh Lord, as she brings us the word of the Lord. Let your virtue flow in this place and let it touch every heart and every mind. Those that hear and see online, oh God, that they too would be touched by the anointing of the Holy Spirit as you accomplish your work. We give you the praise, we give you the glory in all of this, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Let's praise the name. Praise the name. No other name that's higher. No other name that's stronger. No other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name can heal us. No other name can free us. No other name so precious. That's higher.
Given us his word, and if we follow, we can stay out of a lot of trouble, right? And we have this sheet of paper that has the order of service on it. If I would follow it, I could stay out of a lot of trouble. But I'll just take a minute. We want to first of all say welcome to everybody. A few minutes late, but welcome to all of our guests, especially those of you who are online. And we want to remind you of your giving options. You can give in the offering box, mail it in, go to our website, or give through the church app, Church Center. And if you don't have that on your phone and you want to get it on your phone, ask any of the pastors or hopefully any of the leaders in your given ministry, and they can help you out with that. This Saturday, there will be a Section 3 Spanish rally here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. Praise God. If you have never been in a Spanish-speaking church service, or especially a rally, you need to experience it, because you will be blessed. The anointing and the power of God that's manifest here will be a blessing to anyone. So please, if you have the time and the opportunity on Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock, it's a sectional rally, but people will be coming from all over the district to be at that, and Pastor Fabian would certainly appreciate your support of the Spanish ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church. Next Friday, June 2nd, all church prayer at 7 o'clock. God bless you, Pastor Jessica.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's just take one more minute before we get started. Sometimes things just don't go the way they're supposed to go, and that's perfectly okay. But let's just spend a moment in prayer as we go into the Word and just thank Him again. You know, that song, Jesus, Jesus, You make the darkness tremble. You silence fear, Jesus. God, we are so thankful that we can step into Your presence tonight, letting go of everything from our day, whatever it has been, whether it's been good or whether it hasn't been so great. Lord, we just lay it all down tonight. And for the next few minutes, we just want to focus on Your word, the word that was so important that You made sure that so many years later we have it written so that we can hide it in our hearts and that we can find You in the pages of everything that we read here. Open our hearts and our minds. And God, I pray that You would anoint my lips as I deliver the message. Jesus. Some things just don't go the way they're supposed to. Praise God. You can be seated. Jesus is still here. We just adjust and keep moving. Praise God. That is life. It kind of goes right along with the message, so no surprise there, huh? Pardon me while I get this out of my hair. Okay, there we go. Praise God. I don't know if it's spring or summer. I thought it was summer. Started working on all of my yard work. Pastor Seidel, you were talking about gardening on Sunday, and I was like, oh, I'm going to talk a little bit about yard work on Wednesday. I love to do yard work. My allergies don't love it. Otherwise, I'd be a landscaper with you, Brother Brad. I totally would do that. I need a sister to come up here and help me out. As she's coming, we are in the second year of owning our home. And so when we buy a new house, my husband always says we have to wait a year and get settled and figure things out. And then we can make some changes. So I decided this year that we would make a few landscape changes. Thank you. And I talked to my neighbor. God blessed me with a Debbie Millen as a neighbor, but her name is Karen. And she is a wonderful Karen. You are not Karen. No, this Karen is wonderful. She's a master gardener. If you've been to our house, she's the house with all the flowers and the beautiful yard. But she also spends a lot of time and invests a lot of energy into that yard. She's out early in the morning weeding, watering, feeding, weeding, watering, feeding all day long. And she came over and she has great plans for all the rock beds around my house. And I said, whoa, hold on a second. I understand that you blessed me with the perennial flower bed in the front of my house, and I'm very thankful for that, but that's about the size of the garden that I can handle. I don't want to spend all day weeding. I'm not really interested in that. And she's like, well, okay. I said, but maybe, last fall we were talking about it, I said, maybe next year we can take this area right here where our bird feeders are and we can convert it to a little flower garden with some hostas. And she said, okay. So this spring, we decided to tackle that just a couple weeks ago. And I went out there and how many of you have a burn barrel? I was so excited when I was able to get a burn barrel. We live in the country, not in the city. And I like the burn barrel because I can just burn the stuff rather than have to shred it or make it disappear some other way. And so I had this bright idea when we moved in that all the boxes of things that needed to be shredded were going to get burned. And so I put the burn barrel right near the house. So it gave me a really beautiful brown circle right near the house. So I decided as we put in this flower garden, this bird garden, that I would transfer some of the grass over there. And so I began working on that. And then Karen came over and she's like, are we going to work on it today? And I'm like, well, I think so. And I'm standing there looking at this little patch of ground. It's not very big. Maybe 10 feet. Not even 10 feet in diameter. Really little. And I have this bright idea in my head of how this is going to go. And my plan is, you know what? I don't really care about the grass. All I want to do is plant some hostas and then have some flower baskets that I can just plop on top and look at the beautiful flowers. And she's like, well, what we need to do is turn over the soil and remove the grass. And I'm like, okay. Well, she knows what we're doing, so I guess this is what we're going to do. And she said, let's try. Well, let's try turned into hours of work. And I found myself kneeling in the dirt, grabbing these clumps of grass, shaking all the soil off, trying to save it, and then piling the grass around me. And I'm sitting there, and I am sweating, and the hairspray is dripping in my eyes, and they're burning. My knees are hurting. My shoulders are aching, and I'm in the dirt going, why am I doing this? I was just going to cover it with a mountain of mulch and move on. But no, we got to do this. And all of a sudden, Karen looks at me as I'm standing there with the shovel in the ground, and she goes, are you Baptist? And I was like, no, I think it was the skirt. And I said, I'm apostolic. And she goes, oh, you're one of the good guys. And I was like, yeah. I didn't know that, but yeah. I mean, I did know that. She goes, well, I'm Catholic. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she starts to talk about how over the years the Lord has really ministered and spoken to her. And she's developed a real hunger and a desire to dig into the Word of God. But not all Catholics are open to that. So I'm digging in the dirt going, okay, Lord, I know what we're doing now. 3 hours of conversation with my neighbor while I'm digging in the dirt. She keeps talking just about some experiences that she have, and I can kind of feel the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And she begins just to share on her heart and things that the Lord had shared with her, showed her, and how she's trying to help other people. And I'm just listening, like, okay, Lord, do I get to speak or am I just listening? And so I just listened and listened and listened. And then finally it was like that Holy Ghost nudge. I said, Karen, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? No. I am afraid of it. And I was a little taken back because in all the discussions I've ever had about the Holy Spirit, I've never had anyone say, I'm afraid of it. But she was comfortable and she shared and she told me. Karen doesn't know that I'm a pastor at Calvary Gospel Church. Karen doesn't know that I'm a teacher. Karen just knows I'm her neighbor who likes to help her with the mulch and take all the help I can get with my garden. But Karen and I had the most incredible conversation. And I listened to her, and she kind of shared her fears and her doubts, and I began to understand, you know, her fear is not in the Holy Spirit, but in the unknown. And as we dug in the dirt and we continued our conversation, I was waiting for the Lord to let me talk some more. But it was a lot of listening. And she began to talk about, I don't know a lot about the tenets of faith. My husband grew up Catholic, as he says, he graduated. And the Lord brought him to full truth. I don't know everything about what they believe, but she just shared some of the things from her heart that she struggled with. And she said, you know, we don't really believe that there's necessarily a time when you get saved. We just believe that you're saved. And so we had this whole conversation about salvation, and I got to talk to her about the elasticity of salvation in the Bible, that Jesus came to pay the price for the penalty of our sin, and he came to save us from that penalty and to give us the power to overcome sin in our life. And we just kept talking and digging in the dirt and building lots of piles of grass that I realized later I have to move. But it was okay, because finally the Lord said, talk to her. And I said, Karen, you don't have to be afraid of speaking in tongues. I can tell you from experience. What? You speak in tongues? She was so excited. And the next thing she said, young people, I know this is a repeat, but hang in there. She said, I've never met anybody who spoke in tongues. And I was just like, okay, well, there's that. And I just waited. You see, sometimes the Lord gives me a lot of liberty and you can talk and talk and talk, and sometimes he's just going, just this. And we have to be sensitive to what he's trying to do. You see, I've met Karen, I've talked to Karen for about 18 months. We've had conversations here and there. My husband John has had conversations with her about the goodness of God, God's blessings in our life, who God is, different things. But little by little, the Lord has been ministering to Karen. And in this process of something that I really wasn't crazy about doing, I'll be honest. I mean, like I said, I love yard work. I was really excited this year that I got to rake for the first time in 3 years. I was talking to a friend. They're like, is that really something to celebrate, Jess? And I said, yes, because 3 years ago, I ripped a tendon in my arm, and I couldn't do this. I couldn't grab anything. So to me, I can rake. Pastor Phil, I was so excited, I went and bought a dethatching rake. Did you know they make a rake for that? Mine is not electronic. Surprise. But it's a rake, and it's amazing. And I found myself out there raking, and I was like not 100% sure that I could do this. So I was like, okay, I can handle this patch here, and tomorrow I can handle this patch here. But I was so excited that I literally just like kept raking. And all that dead grass and the piles were huge. And I'm like, where's this coming from? I was so excited about this. But I was not excited about digging in the dirt until that moment. And forever I will look in my yard at this little bird flower garden that I have, and I'll be reminded of how the Lord orders our steps when we allow him to move and to minister. A couple of weeks ago, I and my husband slipped away for what I call a short sabbatical. Now, I call it a sabbatical because I turned off my cell phone, and I told everyone, you can reach me through my husband by emergency only for a few days. Because I'm going with my Bible and my notebook, and I'm going to get away with Jesus. Because sometimes life is pretty noisy. Lots of things are happening around us. Lots of people are telling us lots of things. But sometimes we're not hearing the voice of God. And we have to find a way to guard that and protect it in ourselves. Because if we won't do it, nobody else will. Now, in the process of going away, it was the most incredible thing. I wish that I would have yielded and done this years ago when the Lord first laid it on my heart. I will do it again. But when I was there, the Lord gave me the message for tonight. And I was talking with a friend and just kind of sharing what these scriptures that I was studying was really speaking to me. And I said, I must be going to be preaching soon because I know this one is a message. And so a few weeks ago, the Lord had tonight on his mind. And tonight I want to share that with you. I love to study the Word of God. I love to talk about the Word of God. As Karen and I were digging through the dirt, it was just like one scripture after another. She would say something and it would be a scripture and we would talk about it and what that means. And I think that's what the Lord intends for us to do with the scriptures. He didn't intend for us just to come to church and have it spoon-fed to us, but he intended for us to take it and to dig into it and to digest it together. Outside of these four walls. Amen? So, in reading the scriptures, my favorite area is the epistles. The epistles are written by the Apostle Paul, and they are letters that were written to the young, early church. A lot of times, I like to hang out in Ephesians. Ephesians is my favorite. Colossians. They're kind of twin epistles, aren't they? Twin epistles there. But a new one here for me was Thessalonians. And Thessalonians was written to the church in Thessalonica in Acts 17. You can read about that. Paul and Silas were there establishing a new work, getting a new church going. And there was a heavy persecution, so much that they had to leave. They had to flee because of the uproar that it was causing, because there was a bunch of unpersuaded Jews who just wouldn't have this Jesus stuff going on. And so Paul and Silas leave, and while Paul is away, he writes this letter back to Thessalonica, and he's encouraging these young Christians. And I'm not going to go through the whole book tonight. There's actually just one scripture, but I just want to lay a little groundwork because sometimes it helps us to understand the context of the scriptures that we're reading. So he's writing to this young church, new Christians. They hadn't been in this forever. It was new to them. And they were experiencing the challenges in their faith. And he was writing to say, hey, listen, I love your faith. I love the love that you have and the hope that you have. Don't lose it. Hang on to it. His prayer was that they would endure the persecution, that they would push through what was happening, and that they would remember that Jesus is coming. He's the hope. He's going to return. Don't forget, in everything that you're doing, Jesus will return. It's difficult. It's challenging. You don't know what's happening around you, but hang on because our hope is in Jesus. And so his prayer to them was that they would hang on and that they would find Jesus and that they would walk it out so they would be ready when Jesus came. The verse that jumped out to me. Actually, before we talk about that verse, I think everybody in here knows the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. We are all human beings, correct? Okay. And we're made up of three parts. What are they? Body, soul, and spirit. Do we all agree? Yes. That's good. That means we listened to Pastor when he preached us that series on the three-legged stool, right? Body, soul, and spirit. Now, I never thought about this until I read this scripture in light of what God was showing me. And we say we're body, soul, and spirit. Why do we say that? Because we are. True. Because we're Christians. So we say we're body first, right? I think the reason that we say that we're body first is because we're kind of wrapped up in our physical world. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 has changed my perspective on this, and it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wholeness that Jesus is after in us starts with our spirit. We are spirit first. However, in the last few weeks, I've kind of asked a few people the same question I asked you, and every person has said body, soul, spirit. Now, I don't think that it really matters truly what order we say it in. I think what matters is our perspective in it. Because the problem is, if we look at it and we say that we're body, what begins to happen is all we care about is what's happening to my body. What's happening in my physical world? What's happening with the material things that I do or do not have? And what begins to happen is we start to write a narrative, perhaps a false narrative, about who God is and what it means for God to love me. Because what begins to happen is we say, if God loved me, then that wouldn't happen to me. If God loved me, I wouldn't hurt. If God really cared about me, he would bless me with. And we start to look at God and we start to question him when our health begins to fail. We start to question him when the bills start to stack up. We start to question him when things begin to crumble around us, because all of the sudden we're so consumed and wrapped up with what's happening in the physical that we've neglected to understand what just might be happening in the spiritual. There's a verse in Matthew that we quote a lot in Matthew 6:34, and it says, to take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's a really chewy verse to say, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to come, and tomorrow just might have some trouble. We'll get flat tires. There'll be leaky pipes. The kids are going to be cranky. The boss is going to be whining. Things are going to happen. Troubles are going to come. But don't worry about them is what Jesus is saying. Hope fades. Encouragement decreases. This is the challenge in our physical life. Pastor Seidel was talking to us on Sunday in a beautiful message about the power of the Holy Ghost. And he was talking to us about the dunamis power. I like to call the dunamis power the doing power. The doing power. That's what helps us to do what we need to do. But we get super excited about the exousia power, the explosive power. And he was sharing with us about how we're looking for all of these explosive moments, and we're extremely discouraged when they fade away. But see, God didn't design for us to dwell there. He didn't want us just to stay in the moment of the explosion. If you didn't hear Pastor Seidel's message on Sunday, I was just sitting there like, wow, praise God, this is amazing. It's like we serve the same God and he puts all of our messages together. It's like he knows what he's doing, right? But listen tonight. Because sometimes in the false narratives that we write, we can lose ourselves. And when we begin to lose ourselves here, we have to be careful because where that will take us later. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. And sometimes we can throw ourselves some pretty good pity parties. And we can start to look at God and say, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm doing what you asked. Why aren't you taking care of these things? And we're looking for that transactional relationship that he never promised us that we would have. You see, when the God of peace is active in our lives, it's his Holy Spirit that renews and restores my spirit. And when my spirit is renewed and restored, it persuades my mind, it persuades my will, it persuades my emotions, and it manifests itself out in the physical in my body. The problem is our true, complete wholeness and healing will never come in this fallen, broken world. I don't see it in the scriptures. Our glorification is when we're in heaven with Jesus. The problem is that we're so stuck on here and stuck on now, we just don't know how to grab onto it. I was talking, you guys are wondering what this is up here. You'll find out. I was talking with a friend, and we had the most incredible conversation after another God moment where he just interrupted my day. We have to update the QuickBooks file here at church. That's what we use for bookkeeping for both the church and the child care center. And every 3 years, they want another check, and they want us to upgrade. This time, they really wanted us to upgrade and go online, Sister Thorpe. And I said, I don't want to go online because I have a lot of people who like to give online, praise God. But I have to take all that data, and I have to manipulate it, and I have to convert it, and then I have to import it. And I can't do that with the online version, so I spent hours talking to QuickBooks over the last couple of weeks, and I got to purchase the desktop version for another year. Aren't they nice? So testing things, making sure they work, I wanted to make sure that the child care center was ready to go, and so my husband and I had remote connected, and we were taking care of everything the night before. What night was this? Tuesday. Nope. Monday night. We were taking care of stuff, and I tested, and I closed, and I opened files, and I opened and closed programs, and I tested, and I retested, and I logged on, I logged off. I did everything I could think of, troubleshooting, to make sure they were ready to go. Everything was good. I went to bed. I slept great. Opened my email over coffee the next morning, and the very first one from the administrator said, Jess, it just spins. And I was like, what? I made sure this wasn't going to happen. And all of a sudden, the Lord just spoke to me. He said, don't worry about it. You can go to work. What you're going to do is you're going to delete the shortcut that you pinned in the taskbar, and then you're going to re-add it, and everything's going to work fine. And I was like, what? Why don't you give me the answers to my work every day? Because you don't ask. Okay. So I came to work, and the first thing I did, because I didn't want to get busy and her not be able to do what she needed to do, I went to her office, and I said, I don't know. I'm really sorry. I don't know what's happened. This should have worked. I don't understand why it's not working. And I sat down, and I did what the Lord told me to do, and guess what? It worked. Just like that. And so we had some business that we had to discuss, as we normally do, and then the most beautiful God moment began to unfold. And I said, this is why QuickBooks shortcut wouldn't work. I sat there for an hour, and I had the most incredible conversation with the administrator of our child care center. And we got to talk about the goodness of Jesus and the healing that he's beginning to do in her heart, in her daughter's heart, in her husband's heart, a spiritual awakening and a hunger that is developing within her. And she's sharing with me and she's talking with me. And I said, you know what? I'm just studying some scriptures and I'm looking at this and I'm trying to understand what it means, you know, to have God touch my spirit so that he can touch my soul and my body and that I can keep things in order. And we're just talking about everything. And I begin to talk to her about the message tonight. And she's just, we got tears in our eyes and we're crying and we're going through. She goes, I was just in a message on Sunday, Jess, and he was talking about stuff pretty similar to what you're talking about. And the illustration that he used is the illustration I'm going to use tonight. I told her I was going to borrow it. And it was the most beautiful thing because I kept thinking, Jesus, I know you want to talk to us, but sometimes we need to see something and I don't really have something to show. And my object lesson came out of a God moment conversation where again, he interrupted my plans and my day. Now, if you know me, I like plans. And I like my calendar. And I like to know what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, where I'm doing it, and who will be there. And so this is new for me. Again, I've been here before. And you would think that I would understand and that I would learn to yield. But we're kind of stubborn, aren't we? But in this season for me and walking in life, the Lord is trying to show some things to me that I cannot see if I won't stop doing what I'm doing. But see, we get really focused on our plans and our purpose and our goals, building our lives, achieving the American dream. This is what it should be. And when it doesn't happen and it doesn't work, we whine and we complain and we say, God, don't you love me? If you loved me, you would do this for me.
And he's saying, honey, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. You see, I've got this rope here. And if you will, this is the rope of eternity. We can't see the end. It just keeps going. So we get to see a large portion of it. And on this rope for eternity is this portion. You can see the white tape on this rope that keeps going. This is our lifespan, the white tape. We're born. Some of us are here just starting out. Some of us are in the middle trying to figure out why everything hurts. Some of us are a little further down. Some of us think we're over here, but we're over here, and the Lord says, I'm calling you home soon. We don't know what he's up to. We don't know what he's doing. We think we have it figured out, and we think that we have a plan. And he's saying, you know what, Jessica? Everything that I'm putting you through and everything that I'm doing isn't so that you can have the perfect life with the perfect house and the perfect bank account and the perfect children and the perfect family and the perfect career. He's saying, you know what? All these things that are happening in your life, I'm doing this in light of eternity. You see, our physical life here has a beginning and it has an end. We don't like to talk about the end. Everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. And God is saying, you know what? Sometimes I'm going to mix things up. Sometimes it's not going to be the perfect life that you thought that it should be because I've got eternity on my mind when I look at your life. There's something more that I want to do inside of you. There's a transformation and a renewing that I would love to do, but you won't let go of the narrative that you have written. You won't release your plans to allow my purpose and my will to unfold. We must be transformed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only spirit that can change us, that can transform us, that can renew us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed. Our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. We must not focus on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So when we're uncomfortable and when we're not happy with what's going on, maybe we need to just stop and say, Lord, what are you doing in light of eternity? What are you trying to do within me? What is it in my spirit that needs to be transformed? What is it that needs to be renewed into the likeness of who you are? Because you see, he promises us, as much as he warns us and talks to us about the troubles, I mean, we're like, sometimes we're really shocked when troubles come our way, aren't we? I remember when someone had the nerve to steal my car on Christmas Eve. I was like, what? And I did, I'll be honest, I had the thought, like, you got to be kidding me, God. All these things that I do for you, and you let someone take my car on Christmas? He didn't answer that. It rains on the just and the unjust. We live in a fallen, broken world. If we could really understand what that meant, it would help us to really adjust our perspective on what's happening here. You see, God is good. All the time. God is good. He knows. He knows the beginning from the end. And some people really wrestle with that, and they say, well, the problem is I just don't have a choice. If God knows what I'm going to do, then I'm just going to do it, and it just doesn't matter. But that's not how it works. You know, we measure our time by our days. We measure our life by our date of birth to our date of death. We measure everything, truthfully. God does not. God exists outside of time. He exists outside of time. It's kind of incomprehensible for us to really understand what that means. That means that in eternity, he saw my birth. In eternity, he sees my life, and he sees what's happening. He's not controlling it. He's not moving me. He's not forcing me. The most incredible thing that he's blessed us with is choice. Choice. If we could only understand what that means. As much as we have the liberty and the freedom to choose him, others may not. And because of that, we live in a fallen world where things just don't last forever, and they weren't meant to. The only thing that was meant to last forever was our soul, our spirit. And tonight, I think that the Lord is challenging, I know he's challenging me to look at things through a more eternal perspective than just the here and the now. But I think he's looking at Calvary Gospel Church, and he's saying, lift your head. Lift your eyes to where your help comes from. Lift. I heard someone talk about a sign they had in their study. And instead of saying, look up, it said, look down. Look down. And someone questioned them about that and said, why? Why does it say look down? He said, because it's a reminder for me that I need to see from heavenly point of view. Now, we can't look down everywhere we go here, or we would be tripping, or tripping other people, running into things, more bruises, wondering where they came from. But maybe we could challenge ourselves to say, Lord, what do you want to do? I have plans, I have goals, I have ambitions, I have things that I want to do, but so does he. And Pastor has talked to us recently about our purpose and God's will. And God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us here tonight. Every one of us are called. Few are chosen because few choose. But tonight, maybe we could choose to look down at our situation and say, Lord, it's just not working out like I thought it was going to. You didn't quite answer that prayer the way I expected you to, but I trust that you are up to something. And because I know that you are God, and you are sovereign, and you are in control, and I am not, I'm going to release it, and I'm going to say, Lord, transform my spirit. Persuade my mind and my emotions so that I will become the person that you desire me to be, not just here and now, but for all eternity. Life is temporary. It's almost a vapor. You just look. Brother Zimmerman and I were just talking before church about how quickly the weeks go. It's like you blink and we're back here on Wednesday night having service. And everything goes so fast. And yet sometimes it goes so slow in the days. And we struggle. We struggle with it in finding purpose. Because we're looking for comfort more than we're looking for purpose. And it's a dangerous place to be. Because it's when we move outside of our comfort zone that God can begin to do what he wants to do. When we step outside of our plans, then the supernatural can begin to happen. And I believe that there are some incredible things that God is waiting to do inside of you, and inside of this church body and inside of this community. But if we won't get up and go after it, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. And you can say, well, you know, if those pastors would get it together, please pray that we do. Because we're praying that you do. It's easy to point fingers and to say, if you would just go, if you would just do. But look at all those fingers telling me to go and to do. What is God asking you to do? I am so far off my notes, but I know that this is what Jesus wants tonight. We've been here before where I've stopped and I've asked you to stop in the middle of a service and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to do this right now. Close your eyes and shut out the people around you. And ask God what it is that he wants you to do. Some of you know. Last time that we did this, someone came and shared the testimony of what God was working with them on. And they got up and they went after it, and beautiful things are happening because they yielded to the Spirit. And tonight I am asking every person in this room to yield to the Spirit, to let go of your plans, to let go of the ideas that you had and say, Lord, what is your plan? What is it that you want me to do? And ask the Lord to transform your thinking. Ask him to renew your mind. You see, his mercies are new every morning. I think that scripture might just be there to remind us that we can't live on yesterday's mercies. We need new and fresh mercy from God. We need new and fresh anointing from Jesus, not just on Wednesdays, not just on Sundays, but every day. What do you want to do, Jesus? And as the musicians come, I'm going to ask you just to spend a few moments before the music begins, just to talk to Jesus and to ask him, what do you want, Lord? What is it in me and in this situation, in this season, in this circumstance? What is it that you want to do in light of eternity?
Let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord for a moment here. A holiday weekend coming up. Maybe some of us are already in a holiday mode. Remember Broadfest? If you're working at Broadfest or you want to work at Broadfest, you can talk to the Canops or I think the Manises are helping out with that. Remember those that are up at camp. Pray for them. Keep them in mind. I know Brother Rivest. Brother Jimmy Rivas is going up to help out with some issues that have arisen along with the other people that are up there. Praise God. It's Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We're still having church. And it's Pentecost Sunday. Praise God. Somebody has to receive the Holy Ghost in this place on Sunday morning. So let's pray and believe that God's going to do a great work. Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you, Sister Rivas, for the word of the Lord. Praise God. Some of the exact prayers I prayed this week were along the lines of this message. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Be safe. Be a blessing to someone this weekend in Jesus' name.